It is that time of the week. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our man Teron Davenport to the program. TD, happy new year to you and yours. Thanks for taking time to be with us. What's going on, man?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Happy new year.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, TD, we've been talking about kind of the scope of this game all week on Sunday. If you lose, you're guaranteed no worse than second overall in the draft coming up in April. If you win, it could be anywhere down to seventh. What do you make of what's at stake for the Titans on Sunday in this game and kind of the scope of what the difference could be depending on the outcome there and how that affects this franchise moving forward?
Yeah, this is one of those rare times where it's like you lose by winning. And I'm never one to advocate losing on purpose, but you know, that's something that they definitely need to consider, like at least the front office. I know the players, they're not going to do that. But you look, so you're at two, you get a chance at Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, or you have the ultimate opportunity, which is to trade back. You know, you look at a team like the Giants, who might be at four. You know, you get them to flip, you get another first. Now you got ammo for next year, and you get Abdul Carter in the meantime. So there's different things you could do. You drop back to seven, you still are in good shape, but just not in as good shape because now you're looking at, I think, Carolina at six, the way things fall right now. I don't think Carter falls past there. So then you're looking at one of the Georgia edge guys. You're looking at Tet McMillan, Luther Burden, you know, someone in that range. And you're still getting a good player, but I just think that trade down option, that's the key difference to me. And that's why now I'll say, you know, at two, it's much better than being at seven, just because you want a team that wants to move up to get one of the quarterbacks. And I thought for sure the Giants would be, you know, one of the top teams, you know what I mean? But, yep. Hey, it didn't fall that way.
Well, like you said, TD, the players are having no part in tanking. NFL players don't. In fact, NFL players, I think, absolutely love sabotaging draft hopes like the Giants just did against the Colts. What about coaches? And what about this kind of weird to me QB thing that they're doing this week? Do you look at that as any sort of tie to the fact that the Titans win by losing?
I mean, you could tie that into it. I don't think Brian Callahan would lose on purpose, especially with how this year went. You know, I don't think he could afford to do that, you know. So I think really it is just one of those things where you're trying to give both guys a chance to play. Now, I don't agree with it. You know, I don't think, this sport is one where participation awards should be handed out, right? Everybody gets a chance. I think the bottom line, as Brian Callahan said, they didn't win with Rudolph. And now it's just like, okay, neither one gives you the great chance to win. So they're playing both of them and giving them both one last chance to make a case for themselves.
So, TD, on the L'Jarius Sneed front, like they still need him to be a big part of the answer here moving forward starting next year when hopefully he's back on the field. Obviously, this year has not gone to plan for him. And, you know, he kind of addressed what's going on with him yesterday with the surgery. What's your level of concern with him now if you're Rand Carthon, if you're Brian Callahan looking at this, and based on the way that it's gone with his injuries this year and all the chatter about him, you know, kind of ending in Kansas City there and the injury to the knee and all that, how concerned are you about him and his availability moving forward?
Yeah, I think there is reason for concern, but I feel like this, that surgery is a good starting point in that, okay, they had a surgery, they had a procedure done. That means they have a pretty good idea of what the problem was. So now you went about the first step to fix it, and then you go about rehab. And he told me he's going to work out in Dallas during the offseason. It's someplace he's worked out before, and he'll work to get back. And he said he plans to be back on schedule. But I think there is concern just because it got progressively worse, right? Initially it was week to week, or day to day rather, than it was week to week. And, you know, it ballooned into this situation, and it hasn't been stated exactly what it is. That doesn't mean they don't know, but I would like to know exactly what it is. And, you know, that's something that he said initially was an issue. No one could figure out what the problem was, but I think the concern level for me would be down now just because you do know what it is that you're fighting now. So now you just formulate that fight.
But TD, we've been talking today about, and not just today, but today, about low points in this franchise history. Obviously, the last 2 years or 2.5 years have been about as bad as it has gotten for this franchise. Big
yeah.
picture question for you. Right now, if you had to identify the one thing or the top thing, reasons for optimism for Titans fans, what would you point to?
Wow.
It's a tough one.
You know,
deep sigh.
There's not a lot to be excited or optimistic about, and, me trying to explain this, please understand, I'm not making an excuse for anybody. So I want to make that clear. I think the reason for optimism, if anything, would be some of the improvement that they showed throughout the year, right? Special teams got better. It's not fabulous. It's now like average, but it got from, disaster level to average. So that is something. I think looking at the improvement of Chigakonkwo, I think that's something. Calvin Ridley is someone to be optimistic about. Tony Pollard. But, I mean, these are all, again, these are stretches. Like, you're really fine combing it. You know what I mean? To find something. And that's whenever you're in that situation, that's not good, to be honest with you. So I'm not going to sit here and act like everything is fabulous, because it is extremely the opposite.
TD, I'm interested for your thoughts on this. Everybody's going to focus on quarterback this offseason, and I get it. I mean, we all know how important quarterback is moving forward here. Outside of quarterback, where's your top need on this team right now? Is it offensive line? Is it edge rusher? Like, how do you go about evaluating, like, if it's not going to be quarterback, here's step number one the Titans need to take this offseason?
Do you need me to tell the right tackle story? No, I think, honestly, offensive line and the trenches, we could put it that way. Because, I mean, this team desperately needs – they're not going to have a pass rusher to have double-digit sacks. It's not likely, unless Landry has, like, 2 or 3 sacks. Unless Arden Key has 2.5 sacks. They're not going to have a double-digit pass rusher. You have to have someone who could finish the deal. And what did Denard Wilson say? The offseason is going to be all about figuring out ways to destroy the line of scrimmage and take down the quarterback. You have to get a guy that could do that. So you have that. And then obviously, the right tackle situation, we don't have to get into it. We know that's been an issue for years now, and it continues to be one. So they're going to have to figure out a way to address that. I think quietly, very quietly, safety is a position that they have to look at as well. You get a ball hawking safety that will come up and support against the run, to match up with Amani Hooker. I think that could change the defense a lot. And the run support is important, because look at how many the big runs that this team has given up. That back end, they weren't there to seal the deal. And that's why that 20-yard run became a 60 or 70-yarder. So those are three things right there. Punt returners, desperate. A guy like Uthman Burton could come in and give you a slot option as well as drop back and return punts, I think that's something. Think about Jimmy Horn, too, from Colorado. Yep. He's another guy I think they might want to look at. The Miami slot guy as well. So there are some options there later that they could go to fill some roles.
Yeah, no, totally agree on those needs. And when you talk about pass rush, TD, absolutely, they need edge help. I love Abdul Carter. I mean, if it got to the point, even if they're not trading down, and they're not doing a quarterback or they're doing a veteran, I think he could be a special player. But also, to that point, I did think we'd see a little bit more just based on what he did last year. I mean, he was in the backfield a lot from Tavondre Sweat. How do you evaluate, his rookie season as we enter the last game? And do you think there's more there from him moving forward in terms of being, a little bit more of a quarterback effector?
Yeah, there's more to it. I think as he begins to learn more moves and learn more about leverage and things like that, I think he will be a more impactful pass rusher. But I mean, I think this year was a good year out of him. And, he erased a lot of question marks, right? Oh, everybody wanted to, what happens? You you have an off the field thing, and all of a sudden you're a bad guy, you know, and he's clearly not a bad guy. That off the field situation has been wiped away. And then you look at, you know, being known for being overweight and a party guy and not taking things seriously. Haven't been any issues from that perspective. Oh, you want to talk about how many snaps he plays? Okay, no problem. He's second on the team in defensive linemen are playing snaps. I think it's around 67% now. So I think those are things that are positives that he's eliminated. Now it's time to build upon that. And I talked to him yesterday. You know, he said he's going to take kind of like a 2-week period to reset. He's going to train with Jeffrey Simmons in the off season. So, you know, he's going to be right from that perspective because his brother, Jeff's brother, is a very good trainer over there at D1 in Brentwood. So you have that. And I think it's going to be a good second year for him.
Didi, last thing for you here. We're about to get hot and heavy into, you know, coaching cycles here. And Vrabel's interviewing with the Jets today. There's an interesting piece on him that's come out at The Athletic this morning. I'm just curious, your thoughts on him and this cycle and where you think the best fit could be for Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's a culture guy, and he's someone that will come in and make sure that the players and coaches are on the same page, and it's going to be one direction. You have to appreciate that. I think, you know, ideally – I think the Jets are a good situation for him, but he, in my opinion, I don't know what the Raiders are going to do, but if he could get to the Raiders, that would be ideal. And then also, obviously, you know, having a number one pick, if the Patriots want to go ahead and really, you know, turn back the clock and they decide to move on from Mayo, I think he would be ideal there too. So it's crazy. I mentioned two places where the jobs aren't open, but I think those would be the ideal situation.
There you go. TD, great stuff, man. Happy New Year to you. Thanks for taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, for sure. Happy New Year. Take care.
Yep, Teron Davenport, our guest TD. Here on Robbie and Rexrow, joins us every Friday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll react to what TD had to say. Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.